But the book of 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and the 3rd verse. You have it, say amen. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now turn with me to the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and the 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. If you would lift your hands this way and ask the Lord to help me tonight. Oh, Lord, we're asking for your help tonight and your anointing and your power, Lord, to bless this, Lord, to reach souls for you. We can do nothing without you, God. We need your help tonight, Lord. Hey man, if the Lord would help me, I would like to preach on the simple thought, the battle over your minds. The battle over your minds. Amen. So many times in the Christian walk, we feel all alone. So many times we feel like nobody's been where we've been. So many times we feel like that this is a trial, that we're the only person that has ever dealt with this. I know I've been there. I felt like, God, you've given me something that nobody else has ever had to deal with. Nobody else has ever had to cope with. But when you start asking questions and you're in enough church services and you hear enough prayer requests, you realize you're not the only one there. But tonight I want you to know that most of the battles we go through as a Christian are in our minds. Because we do not fight the devil physically. He does not come down. We don't wrestle with him. We don't box with him. We don't do whatever with him. But it gets into our minds. Amen. Because before you ever do anything in this life, before you ever sin, before you ever eat, before you ever drink, you think about it. I don't know about you, but before I eat, I think about what I'm hungry for. My mind says, your belly's hungry. My mind says, okay, belly, what do you want? And I open up the refrigerator and I look around. And it's the same as a Christian. In this life, as we walk, we think about what we do. So the devil's number one goal is to get into your mind and start messing with you, because the mind is the gateway to the heart. Because he knows if he can get control of what you think, he can get control of what you do. And when he gets control of what you do, he can cause you to backslide. Now, I'm going to preach here in a minute, but I want you to know, every sin you commit, the process starts in your mind. You don't just sin, you think about it. And if you're like me, before I've ever sinned in my life, I thought about, when should I do it? How I should do it? Where I should do it at? And how I can get away at it? I just didn't do it, but I thought about it for a little while. Amen. The devil will make you feel like you're all alone in these battles. But I want you to understand, I can guarantee you, almost every church you go to, the battle you're fighting in your mind, there's somebody in the pew saying the same thing on the other side of the building. Because the devil's playground is your mind. He wants you to think that nobody cares. He wants you to think that nobody understands. He wants you to think that nobody is there to help you. But there is someone named Jesus Christ that is sitting at the right hand of God and in your ear saying, hold on just a little bit longer, because that's just the devil. You are more than a conqueror with my help. The Bible says greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I don't care if you got voices in your head saying you're backslid. I don't care if you got voices in your head saying you've never been saved. If you're a blood-bought, born-again Christian, that is the devil. Many times in my life, the devil's told me you can't preach, you can't teach, you can't sing, you can't do nothing. You're too young, and you'll be too old by the time you learn how to do it. Amen. And you know, I looked in the mirror and I said, on my own, I can't talk. On my own, I can't walk. On my own, I can't teach. On my own, I can't preach or sing. But there is somebody on my side. There is somebody in my corner. There is somebody in my heart that I can preach and teach with the help of God. I'm going to talk to you about three key battles that go on in your minds. And the first one is the battle of lust. Now, this isn't a battle just for single people. This isn't a battle just for young people. This is a battle for everybody. It's one of the easiest temptations thrown at us, one of the easiest things to fall into. Because, you know, I told one preacher, I said, there's nothing wrong with the sand at the beach. There's nothing wrong with the sun at the beach. There's nothing wrong with the water at the beach. But there's something wrong with people walking naked by you at the beach. Because you have set yourself up. And the devil's going to get in your mind and start saying, hey, look at that woman over there. Hey, look at that man over there. Don't you just wish your spouse looked like that? Don't you just wish you could get along with that somewhere? But I want you to know that's not God. That's not yourself. That is the devil revving up your flesh a little bit, turning up the burner to get control of your mind. Because if he can get you caught up in lust, he can get you caught up in adultery. Now, I'll say something real quick here. A lot of people backslide and get back in church. And the devil knows that. He's not stupid. So he figures if he can only get you out for a little while, he's going to have you do so many ungodly things that even if you do get back in the church, your family, your ministry, your church, and your nobody else, you won't recover from the damage that he will do to you. Now, we got to go to Walmart. We got to go out to eat. We got to buy groceries. Amen. But you need to guard your mind. The Bible says to put on the whole armor. Amen. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because when you're walking in Walmart, the Dollar Tree, a garage sale, he's going to start throwing lustful thoughts your way. Now, I know that. I'm a teenager. I know the lustful thoughts that run through people's minds. But I also know how it must be when your husband or your wife's sick. Amen. And they're in and out of the hospital or they're working constantly. Amen. And a sales lady knocks on your door in a little but petite little skirt and a tank top. How you doing today, sir? Amen. And if you've been slacking up on your praying and you've been slacking up on your reading, you're going to go from lust to adultery before you can look in the mirror and say, what happened? You see, when you're in control of your mind, you got a chance to say, I'm not doing that. Devil, get out of here. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. But if the devil gets control of your mind after the sin is committed, you will be looking back saying, how did I get so low to do that? The second battle is the battle of uncertainty. Oh, we all go through this one. We all go through this. You hear those little voices in your head, amen, saying, oh, you're not saved. Nobody's saved. There's no God. There's no Savior. That's just a book of fables. That preacher's done lost his mind. That teenage boy up there preaching to you right now was probably getting high last week, so he don't know what he's talking about. The devil wants you to get uncertain, get you unsure of your salvation. Because when it gets you unsure, you start doubting. And when you start doubting, you have nothing to fight with. If you're doubting that you're saved, if you're doubting that you're on your way to heaven, how can you fight the devil when he comes after you and says, kill yourself? Go ahead and take those pills. Go ahead and watch the dirty movie. Go ahead and buy the Playboy magazine. If you're doubting the fact that you're saved, you're going to doubt the defenses that God has given you to fight off those things. You think that praying and fasting outside the church isn't important. It's very important, because if you expect to get anything in here, you're going to have to do something out there. Hey, amen. My grandma and grandpa were gone. I got back in that safari room of ours. Amen. And even though nobody was home, I closed that door and I begged and I pleaded to God to help me become a more dedicated Christian, to help me become a more on fire Christian, because the temptations in this world are only getting stronger, but we as Christians are only getting weaker because we refuse to do what it takes to stay saved. For the longest time, I was uncertain of myself preaching. I was unsure if I had any effect on anybody. I'd go to churches and I'd feel that God had laid a sermon on my heart for certain people. And I'd give the altar call and they never come down. And last year, I was at a place and I preached. And I was directing it at two people. I felt it all week, Brother Galen. I knew I was directing it at those two people. I give altar call, and those were the only two people that didn't come to the altar. Well, when I went back to the pastor's house for dinner, those people pulled me off to the side and said I was about to backslide. But I want you to know that was the devil in my head. I'm a preacher, and he was in my head making me unsure of myself. All this last couple weeks, I've been unsure whether my daddy was saved or not. I had no idea. But the devil said, just go ahead and give up, because he hasn't. But I want you to know that grandma and grandpa talked to him, and he's not praying once a day. He's praying twice a day. So you can sit back, devil, and tell me that God don't move. But I got a family, and that are on the way back to God. Don't let the devil convince you that it's too late, that holiness is out of style, that sanctification is out of style, because I'm here to tell you tonight that God is still moving. God is still saving. God is still delivering. You just gotta turn loose and let him work. The Bible says the devil is the father of lies. He can't tell the truth. The truth's not in him. He can twist the truth. He can twist it to make it sound like it's right, but it's not right. Anything the devil tells you is for your ultimate destruction. But I want you to know that everything God speaks to you is for your own good, and your family's own good, and your church's own good, and your ministry's own good. Don't listen to the devil. Oh, there's been times I've went in grandma's bedroom crying, saying the stress, the voices, I can't take it. There's demons in my room fighting me. I don't know what to do. She'd say, I understand. But then that voice in my head would say, she don't understand. And she's a witness many times. I stood there and just screamed at her and said, you don't understand. And I would slam the door and go back to my room and curl up in my bed and cry, because I felt like I had nobody that understood. But once I got enough unction inside of me to say, Jesus, you said you were tempted and tried in all manners. You went through everything I've been through. I need your help. Every demonic power that was in my bedroom evaporated. Come on. I don't care how long you've been fighting the battle you're in. God is going to bring you out. Whether it's through the fire, whether it's through the flood, you're going to come out on the other side of it. The third battle, the battle of your emotions. Oh, we got some emotional people in the church house. We got some people in the church house. You say their name and they start crying. We got some people in the church house. You mention their situation and they start crying. That's not God. Yeah, I'm an emotional Christian or I wouldn't be up here hollering at you, wiggling and jumping and everything else. I wouldn't be doing that if I wasn't an emotional person. But the devil wants to twist your emotions to where you get emotional to things you don't need to get emotional to. And the things that you should be feeling emotional about. I want you to know that if somebody comes down and gets saved and you're sitting in your pew without a tear in your eye, something's wrong. I don't care if I've never met the person. If I see that they have just received salvation, they have just received eternal life, they have just broke free of the chains the devil had on them, I get emotional. I start feeling a joy. I just witnessed somebody break loose from the ruler of darkness. And if you're sitting in your pew, we need to get out of here. I'm hungry. That don't matter anyway. It does matter. And you think the way you handle somebody else getting saved doesn't matter? It does matter. Amen. If you're testifying and I'm backing you up, you get the unction to testify some more. If you're testifying and everybody's looking at you, you feel like sitting down. Amen. So you think it doesn't have nothing to do? It has no effect on people? It does have an effect on people. But the devil wants to get control of your emotions. Amen. He wants you to start thinking that, well, your life's so bad. You ever felt that way? Nobody likes you. You got the worst family. You got the worst hairdo. You got the worst clothing style. You're poor. You're ugly. You're fat. You ever been there? You always hurt. You don't feel like doing nothing. And the next thing you know, you come into church and you sit down on your pew, amen, and you're looking at Brother Hunt and Grandpa and Brother Chris and me while we're preaching. Oh, they just don't understand how bad it is. If they was only in my shoes for a week. If they only had to listen to the voices I hear. If they only had to deal with the uncertainty I deal with. If they only had to deal with the lustful thoughts in my mind. If they only had to deal with my husband or wife. If they only had to deal with my kids or my grandkids. Then they would understand. But until they understand, I'm going to sit here and rock back and forth in my pew and feel sorry for myself. Well, friend, I'm telling you, the devil has done God control of your mind and your emotions. Amen. Because when you think nobody else has problems, you got big problems. Are you listening to me? You think that lust isn't a problem. Look at David. The devil was fighting David, and David didn't really know it. In David's prime, there were not too many men that could go one-on-one in a fight with David. There wasn't too many nations that could go against David's army. Not only did David have God on his side, but David was a wise military mind. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. Yeah, well, David decided, I'm getting a little old. I need to stay home. But the rule was the kings went out to battle. David stayed back. The devil had already been working on David's mind. He'd already been fighting David. Because if you're a Christian, you go through battles. But the fact that David stayed back showed the fact that David was slacking up somewhere. Otherwise, he would have listened when he knew, if we're going to war, I have to go. This has been the rules. These are God's rules. I've made these rules. I'm going to follow these rules. But David decided to stay home and take his little evening stroll out on his big balcony. And oh, he saw Bathsheba. And before he could turn around, that lust got all over him. And lust turned into murder. And murder turned into a kid out of wedlock. And a kid out of wedlock turned into a kid trying to take his kingdom over. And a kid trying to take his kingdom over turned into his kid dying, which turned into heartache for David. He cried, "Absalom, Absalom, my son." He was brokenhearted. But you trace it all back, and it started with David losing the battle of lust. Why did Samson fall like he did? Man, them women look pretty down there. These women look pretty out here. I'm not going to lie. Some of these church girls look pathetic. No offense meant, I mean. You just kind of, ugh, God. I hope you send one a little better along than that. I don't have to marry someone that looks like that. I mean, it's hard enough to look at them at youth camp once a year, much less every day of my life. You know? So one of these good-looking women come by and they, well, I mean, I had a married woman flirt with me the other day. And I mean, oh, man, she's already got a car. She's already got a house. Oh, come on, God. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But if you're not prayed up, you won't be able to make a joke about it. You're going to fall into it. Because whether you want to admit it or not, there's a battle for your mind going on right now. The devil wants to twist your sicknesses around and say it's God's fault. The devil wants to twist your problems around and say it's God's fault. Or blame it on the preacher. Oh, that happens all the time. I just love when people blame the problems on me. It's all your fault, preacher. You did it. You didn't tell me how to handle it the right way. And I fell into it. But that's the devil. Solomon, the wisest man in the world. What caused him to get in trouble? His mind. Not only was he smart on the good things, he was smart on the bad things, but he got unspiritual, therefore he couldn't fight the battle off when it come to the bad things. And the devil used Solomon's great wisdom for evil and destroyed Solomon till he almost lost out. What did Solomon say? What's worse than a wise old king? What's more foolish than a wise old king? I'm getting close to closing here. What happened to Peter? How did the devil get Peter? In his mind. When that lady come out and said, "I know you. You're one of his disciples." The devil crept in there and said, "No, no, no, no. You don't want to say that. You don't want to say, yes, I am. You want to deny that. Deny it. Come on, buddy. You don't. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about." And then he kind of thought, I'm not going to do that again. She comes back and says, "I know you. You're one of his disciples." And that little voice in there, "No, no, Peter, don't say yes to that. Say no. They're going to kill you just like they're going to do him. You don't know what you're talking about." The third time he got so mad, he cussed. And that's when the master walked by and the cock crowed and he realized he'd messed up. So tonight, I want you to understand, there is a battle for your mind going on. Because if the devil can get control of your mind, he's one step closer to getting control of your heart and causing you to backslide and commit unthinkable acts. Right now, you might be saying, "If I backslid, I would never drink or do drugs. I'd never be a homosexual. I'd never be a lesbian. I'd never do this or do that." You don't know that that's true. When the devil gets control of your mind and your thoughts and your actions, he decides what you do and what you don't do. God loves you. God cares for you. God wants to help you win the battle over your mind. You're not alone. You have plenty of preachers and prayer warriors. But most of all, you have the Son of the Most High God that has full power over every demon, over every affliction, over every sickness, over every tribulation and trial. All you have to do is reach out and say, God, I can't handle this no more. These voices in my head have tore me up with lust. I'm so unsure of myself. I'm an emotional basket case. I need help. And you'll get help. Grandma will come to the piano. Tonight, if the battle over your mind is losing territory for you right now, right here is where you can take back the ground that you've lost. Right here, Brother Usher, right there is where you can come down and draw the line and say, no more, devil. You've messed with my mind long enough. You've messed with my sleep cycle long enough. You've messed with my dreams long enough. You've messed with my emotions long enough. No more. In fact, I'm taking back what you stole from me. Now, I know, voice in your head saying, don't go down there. Come down here. Anything that doesn't go along with the Bible that's talking to you is the devil. Anything that is not God-related talking to you is the devil. It's either the devil or your flesh. And the devil works through your flesh to talk to you too. So if we'd all stand tonight, I want you to know that don't listen to anything that doesn't sound like God. Throw it out of your mind. Say, I'm not listening to you. You're trying to hurt me. You're trying to get me to backslide. You just want me to get down as low as you are and go to hell. But I'm not going to go to hell, because Jesus Christ died so that all men could be saved. That whosoever called upon his name should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever means the drug, the drunk, the drug addict, the prostitute, the adulterer, the fornicator. All. Whosoever. So now come down to these altars and fight the battle over your mind. But don't fight it alone. Fight it with Christ. Amen.